Lord, I do want you to speak today to me and through me. I pray that your anointing will be upon us this day, and as we open up the scriptures, we would hear your voice. And may it not be just simple words to our brains, to our minds, but may it really touch our minds and our hearts and become life, become part of our daily life, Lord. So I pray for a bit of humbleness, that as we listen to your word, we'll be able to say, Lord, you spoke to me today, and change as you speak to us, Lord. So I pray that you will be present today in a mighty way in the reading and the preaching of your word. Amen. Amen. You know, this kind of message are not always easy. Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, the special messages, you know, they're always a bit challenging. You know why? Because everybody kind of, I mean, we've heard this message once a year for some 20, for some 50 years. It's familiar. And sometimes that familiarity callous to God's words, almost callous to God's words. So I pray today, especially, that we will be able to listen to our hearts and just be able to hear God's voice for us. So what is Thanksgiving? You know, coming from Romania, we've never had this. You know, this is very North American. I mean, it's part of many cultures. We usually call it harvest celebration back in Europe. But if you grew like me, you know, in a condo, and the only harvest you saw was you know, the things you buy at grocery stores, which you buy every year, every day of the year, you know, winter, fall, summer, it doesn't matter. There's always something at the grocery store. You don't have that that gratitude of the fall, of the harvest building you. I don't. I'm a city guy. You know, I was raised in a city as big as Toronto. So this is where it started, with people looking at the fall, at the harvest, and giving God thanks. And giving thanks for provision, for deliverance, for making it through another year, and having that harvest special celebration time. You know, when you tasted hunger, when you know what thirst feels like, it's actually a lot easier to give God thanks for everything you have, even for the smaller things. Sometimes we get so used to being blessed and having a bunch of, you know, an abundance of everything, that we stop being thankful, or we stop having that gratitude in our heart, And I don't want that. I want God to make my heart soft. So whenever he gives me the smallest blessing, I'll be rejoicing. And even if I don't get those blessings, even if I don't get the things I pray for, hope for, or want, because sometimes it's not the needs, it's the wants that makes us be unthankful. Is that a word in English, unthankful? If not, I just made it up, so write it down. You know, it's sometimes it's our wants, the things that we know we can do without, but we want them. You know, a couple of years ago, I posted on, sometimes in November, I said, I want a new body by Christmas. And I meant a new camera body, you know. I still dream and wish that I have my new camera. But you know what? I can live without that new camera really well. And I can take decent pictures with my 5-year-old camera. It's the wants that makes us be ungrateful sometimes. And I pray that today we open up our eyes and see God. See who he is for us, and just rejoice in him being with us, not just in him giving us stuff. Anyway, so at its roots, this was a celebration of those who understood hunger and thirst, who knew what that looked like, and they were able to appreciate every single gift that God gave them. They understood exactly why is God called the great provider. You know, Psalms 37, 7 and 8. 36, 7 and 8 say, you see, 4-digit numbers. I read them and I mix them up. How precious is your steadfast love, the psalmist wrote. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Amazing words. And I was challenged, studying this week for today, I was challenged to look at my own life and ask myself, am I grateful for big things and small things, for even for trials? You know, if you read James, the book of James, the first chapter. It's hard not to, I mean, you get stuck in that verse, you know. Is it verse 2? Is my memory mixing up stuff yet? James. Sorry. Yep, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith versus steadfastness. You know, even for trials, we don't enjoy trials. We don't pray for trials. But when they come, we can even then give God thanks because we know through those trials we are forged. We are strengthened. Our steadfastness is being built. So that's the heart I'm praying for myself and hopefully for as many of us as God can change. Psalm 63. You know, sometimes God gives me life verses that stay with me forever. I mean, sometimes. One time God gave me one life verse, Ephesians 4:12. But there are seasons when certain passages become more prevalent, more important for me. Right now, I'm in 1 Peter 5:10. That's my verse for this season of my life. But back then, a couple of years ago was Luke 9:51, when it says about Jesus that when the time came, he turned his face resolutely towards Jerusalem. And that dedication to fulfill your ministry despite the cost, the price paid, was very challenging and very encouraging for me. But many, many years ago, this Psalm 63 was, for that time, the honey on my lips. Let's read. I think it's on the screen. Yes. Psalm 63, from verse 1 through verse 8. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Just realized, I have NASB on the screen. I'm reading ESV. I'll just switch to this. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate upon you in the night watches, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And when I read that verse, my soul clings to you, it was just a sweet, sweet reminder that it is not the stuff that God gives me that I'm thankful for. It's Him. Pure and simple Him. My soul clings not to His provision, which is great. You know, some of you know, I think Anna texted, you know, half the church. If you're not in that half, then I don't talk to her. But yeah, we got our the points for our residency, permanent residency application. We got the points. And we were looking for 34 points, 36 points we were missing. Guess how many we got? 600. Yes, I know. When it pours, it rains. When it rains, it pours. What is the English phrase? Yeah. So I was hoping for 36 points, and I got 600. So God is good in the small things, in the big things, you know. And I just want to rejoice, not because He blesses us, because, I mean, He does, but because of Him and who He is, and because I have Him, you know. Let's be honest. It is easy to maintain a heart filled with thanksgiving when you're blessed and healthy and happy and everything like that. But it's not always the case. We're not always that thankful. Let's be honest. I mean, don't have to raise hands and stuff, but look at your heart. Are you always thankful? Or there's moments when you're like a bit complaining, a bit, you know, asking for some more, or saying, Lord, why? Or why not? Or all those questions we have. It is not always easy to maintain that heart of thanksgiving, because the devil is shrewd and he knows how he can rob us from our thanksgiving. Yeah, he does that. He comes and robs and steals and destroys. And one of the things that steals or kills, whatever, one of the things that he steals or robs us from is even our thanksgiving. And he does that skillfully. He is not just with us. He's been doing this forever. Not forever, but for a long, long time. You know, for example, One way he's very shrewd in doing this with us is by building discontentment into us. It's a very fancy word. Beings, we're not thankful. We're not content. We're discontent. We don't like stuff. We're complaining, you know. People said that this is the God-given right of every soldier to always complain, and Marine and sailor and everything, you know. But it's not, actually. Discontentment, it's actually a tool of the devil to make us not enjoy God. You know how that happens? It's easy. We set our eyes on our own needs. Go back to the Jews in Exodus through Numbers and Deuteronomy. God brought them with mighty hand out of Egypt. If you didn't read the book, just, you know, go ask Robert. He's fresh into Exodus and Leviticus. God brought them up from Egypt with a mighty hand. They're chased by the Egyptian army, and they were not armed themselves. They were not yet a fighting force. And they got to the Red Sea, and they saw, they witnessed their crossing the sea on dry land, and they witnessed the Egyptian army being swallowed by the waters. Guess how long it took them, or maybe you know, to start complaining. How long a time passed until from that miracle of their salvation from the Egyptians until they actually began to again complain? How much time? Just wild guess. I didn't hear. You're very optimistic. 3 days. 3 days passed, and they're already complaining that they don't have enough food, and they have this and that. 3 days. They've seen God's mighty hand. They've seen God's salvation, and they, in 3 days, they put their eyes on their own needs. I don't have this. I don't have that. It's hard. It's not wet because it was desert. It's dry. My lips are charred. And I don't have lipstick and what's called that? Lip? Chapstick. Thank you. They complained. Why? Because they put their eyes on their own needs. I mean, do we have needs? Yes. Nobody denies that, and God does provide. But when our eyes is only on what we need / want, it's so easy to become discontent. But when you set your eyes and hearts on things that God has done for you, even though you may miss something today, you can still be grateful or thankful or content or satisfied. All those nice words. When your heart is not linked to your needs and what you have or you don't have, but unto God. And that's one thing that we should always do. The second thing is short memory span. And if you think what that is we forget, or actually it's something else. It's called selective memory. The Jews were, again, we pick on them today, Numbers. The Jews remembered Egypt. What do you think they remembered from Egypt? Where there were slaves, and they suffered, the kids were killed, babies were thrown in the waters. What do you think they remembered from those days when they worked hard, they were pushed hard by the masters, they built bricks, and you know, they died by scores. What do you think they remembered? Yeah, let's read. It's not on the screen, but it's Numbers 11, 4 and 5. Moses, am I right? Oh, 4 and 5, never mind. I was reading something else. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat." We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks. Yuck, the leeks? Anyway, the onions and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. How sad is that? When you look back at your life and all that God has done for you, look at the past, all your sufferings and the way God worked in your life. And all I remember is we had garlic back then. And leek. Who eats leek, by the way? What's leek, honey? Praz. Okay, never mind. I know what it is. I don't eat leek. And nevertheless, I don't even crave. I mean, we have people in Reina that eat leek, but it's like, yuck. That's all they remembered. It's called selective memory, and the devil uses that to rob us from thanksgiving, from thankfulness, from gratitude from being satisfied or content. Or wrong priorities. Haggai chapter 1. I preached about this recently. About that first chapter in Haggai, the first prophecy of Haggai to the people of Israel, when he told them, this phrase comes in verse 5, consider your ways. Why? They were called back to Israel to build God's temple. They built something, the altar, and then stopped and started building their own houses. But as they built their own houses, something was amiss. Something was not right. You know, and let's read the words of a prophet, actually. It's Haggai chapter 1. Aha, let me see now. Who opens first to Haggai? It's one of the small prophets. Are you guys used to use the Bibles? I don't hear. Okay, Haggai, first. Am I first? Verse 6, actually. You have sown much and harvest little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. That's how they lived. You know, they put the priorities wrongly in their lives. And they were missed. I mean, nothing was right. They didn't have the food, water, clothing was not good. The money was wasted. Nothing was right. And obviously, I bet they were not even thankful for that. I mean, who would? But all that came upon them because they put their priorities wrong. They put their own comfort first and they forgot about God. You know, wrong priorities have consequences. It's a law of God. Wrong priorities have consequences. And sometimes God uses his might to work in our lives things that will remind us that he is God and he is or ought to be number one in our lives, you know. So that's the call in verse 5 is this, consider your ways. Think about your life and think, why am I not thankful? What happened to me? You know, about a month ago, I was in this point, I mean, I wasn't missing out on stuff, but I was anxious. You know, and it's hard to be thankful when you're anxious, you know. I mean, have you tried that before? To be filled with fear and anxiety and be thankful at the same time? Kind of doesn't work, you know. So I went to the Lord, and I prayed, and God spoke to me. And I realized it was lack of trust. I put my own fears above everything as I thought. I looked at my fears, and I just ignored God. My fears were bigger. My anxiety was bigger than God, and it was wrong. I had to reverse that, and I still have some, you know, anxiety. I mean, it's not gone, but God, I know God is in control. The God of all grace, he himself will restore, strengthen, empower, and establish me. 1 Peter 5:10. You know, it's a promise. When you put priorities right, when you think of, put God first in your thoughts, in your mind, in your heart, if God is first, it's easy to be thankful, and the devil knows that. So he'll make sure he reverses priorities in your life so in such a way that you forget or you're unable to be thankful anymore. And the last thing there, seeking provision in the wrong places. That's an old, old story. It began with Adam and Eve. When the devil told them that more good can be found if they disobey God and eat from that tree. More, God is holding something away from them. God is holding something for himself, and more good can be found outside of God's commandment. That was the devil's lie back in Genesis. And the people's desire to find that good without God or outside of God's will. It's been our nightmare ever since then. You know, the attempt to find good, not looking for that good in God. And Jeremiah, actually the prophet, and we'll look at this passage. If you can open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2. We'll be there a bit in that passage. Jeremiah chapter 2. The prophet actually has a few good words for the people, and it just stuck to me. Jeremiah 2nd chapter, from verse 2 actually will be, I think. It's actually the passage starts well. The prophet is speaking about about Israel, and he actually praises them. And he says this, I remember the devotion of your youth,
your love as a bride, and how you followed me in the wilderness, in the land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruit of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord. God knew. God told them, you guys started well. Remember the days when you became Christians for the first time? It's still fresh in my mind. 25 years after, it's still fresh. That summer of 93. My first Christmas, the winter of 93. I remember the excitement of singing Christmas carols and meaning what I say. It was amazing. That was the exhilaration of that first summer, the first winter as a Christian, the first Easter as a Christian. I won't forget them, you know? And God says, that is where you started. I know who you are. I know where you began because I did that in you and for you. That's who you are. You know, it says there, I remember the devotion of your youth. God says, I know you've been there. It's not like you don't know how to feel that or do that or be that. I know that because I remember those days. So they started well, but something happened. And there's some harsh words here. I hope you don't take it, you know, take it the right way, actually. It's in the Bible. What wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? Going back to Genesis 3, when you seek good, when you seek your provision, when you seek your fulfillment outside of God, or sometimes against even God's commandment, it's like that. It says on the screen, you pursue worthlessness and you become worthless. It's harsh words. And God says, that's how you kind of became. When you don't seek God, when you seek good, sorry, outside of God, that chase, that attempt ends up in a wrong way. And the words are harsh here, worthlessness and worthless. Just remind us that anything outside or besides God is empty. It's nothing. It doesn't satisfy. It may fool us for a season, for a while, but does not satisfy. And God says, they did not say, where is the Lord? Verse 6, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt? They forgot. They forgot to say, where is our God? They forgot to ask, God, what are we to do? They forgot to live their lives in obedience to the Lord. Jeremiah keeps telling them the whole book, go back to God. God can still have mercy on you, but go back to God. If not, things will follow. You know? And verse 11, but my people have changed their glory for what which does not profit. Again, a very sad verse. They changed their glory, having God with them, having God as their leader, guider, provider, healer, everything you want, for something else. They've changed their glory for that which does not profit. Even more, God continues, two evils have committed my people. One, they have forsaken God. Verse 13, they have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Let's talk about ourselves a bit now. How does this look actually apply to us today? You know, when we think of Thanksgiving, you know, we think of things that God has given us. And we associate giving thanks with having something in our hands, in our possession. But that's actually, it's almost like building for ourselves, hewing for ourselves broken cisterns. Because if our heart's attached to what God does to us or for us, or what he gives us, or what, you know, what he provides for us, then if he doesn't, because in his wisdom he might choose not to, we tend to become unthankful. It is hard to be thankful when your cisterns are always empty. It is hard to be thankful when you abandoned the fountain of living water. That's what God tells them. And my friends, my sisters, my brothers, I'm not saying you have done that. I'm saying the devil will try to do this in your lives, in my life. He'll try to steal, to rob me from being thankful and being content, being satisfied, and just giving gratitude back to God. Why? Because an unthankful Christian is almost like it's a contradiction in terms, and we become we are no longer light and no longer salt when the devil steals from us our thankfulness. And today is Thanksgiving. It's a day of celebrating God's faithfulness and His provision, and we get together with family and friends and remember Him and His provision. But sometimes, if our focus is on things and on stuff, it will be hard to be thankful, for things or stuff can never satisfy. We always want more. It is never enough. And it can be in good things too. You know, one thing that came, I may have mentioned to someone this week, I met with a few people, I forgot with whom I was talking, but I was talking about this pattern because it was in my mind, and my mind was working. Even last night, 2 o'clock in the morning, I was up and, if I look a bit tired, you know, I haven't had coffee for a whole week. From Friday to Friday, no coffee, nothing. And I had 2 yesterday. And at 2 o'clock, today? In the days when it's dark, when it's hard, when it's difficult, help me remember that you are always with me. That is your promise, Lord, and I take it as my own promise that you are always with me. And even though sometimes, like Peter says, we might suffer for a little while, my heart clings to the verse that says, the God of all grace, he himself will strengthen and establish and restore me. So I pray, Lord, that my heart be filled with thanksgiving today, not just because of your provision, but especially because of who you are, because of your Son, who can give us that water that I will never thirst again when I drink from it. May we all, in faith, by faith, drink from that water today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.